Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right. So welcome to Pacific Beer Chat. I am Cornell. We also have
Warren,
Mike,
Kevin,
and Benny.
And so this is the episode after the episode we plan to record. So
yeah, I'm still here.
He's still here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now he's off.
A little more haphazard, a little more piecemeal. But we've had these. Benny and I have had these beers that we received in trade for about a year now. They've been sitting nice, cool in our cellar for a while. They're from Bell's Brewery, which is out in Michigan, I believe. I should know that.
Comstock, Michigan.
Comstock. Everyone knows Comstock.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And right next to Woodstock. Comstock, Michigan. Bell's, though, is well known as, you know, one of those, like, second... Well, I don't know. I won't explain it. But one of the better-known, larger regional breweries in the States, yeah, in the Michigan area. Before we had all these, you know, tiny breweries popping up and getting people to line up outside their doors, these were the big boys. And I know about one of them, which we have, is the Black Note Stout, which is a pretty sought-after stout. It's 2017 stout aged in bourbon barrels, when just saying those words meant something. And next to that, we have their Expedition Stout that is just a stout that is named after an expedition.
Nice.
Not a particular one, just expeditions, yeah, in general.
Just X and Expedition. Whoa. In Memorial Stadium.
Expeditions, all expeditions.
And then we have an additional beer to round them out. It is
Jock Jams.
Jock Jam.
To go completely the different direction than those two beers.
It is a mixed berry dessert sour. And it looks to be a collab between House of Funk and Twin Sails.
Yes, oh, it is.
Interesting.
4.7% alcohol.
So it's a hazy sour?
It's
probably
massively,
it's like
murky sour.
Smucker's jam.
When you put that much fruit in a can, nothing's getting, no light is getting through. It's a black hole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of more of a red hole, but yeah.
Oh my god. Should I make another comment?
All right, well, let's get to this expedition hole here. Come on now.
Are we starting with stouts? Are we starting with...
We'll start with the stouts, because this sour is pretty massive.
All right, sweet. So let's start...
Weird and massive.
Yeah, let's go start with the expedition. I don't think it's any barreling on it. It is just a big stout. And, you know, I don't know. Oh, it does say Comstock right there on the bottle. Sorry.
I got to say, I'm looking forward. I don't really... Outside of beers that we brew or beers that were given by other breweries that we're friends with and everything, I'm excited to try something that I don't have in my fridge right now. Like, I don't have access to.
Yeah, this is from a time when Benny and I were trading pretty extensively. We were putting out a box, I'd say almost monthly, and it was a lot of fun. But
we had a Michigan guy.
The dollar amounts add up real quick, and you eventually realize... like I did last week, I have 130 beers sitting in my cellar, and I've got to do something with those. So we gave up on a little bit. What's that?
We'll do an episode.
Well, we've been talking about it.
Yeah, we'll just do like a cellar clear.
A cellar clear, yeah.
But it's interesting, right? Because, you know, just about every big stout that comes out right now is a bourbon barrel, or it's barreled, or it's sitting in a foodra. Never know which one.
Food.
And it's kind of like, I'm like looking at this beer, the Expedition Stout, 10.2%. That's it. That's what it says.
10.5.
This bottle, if you can imagine this, and it's like the old school Molson twist off, or no, it's not twist
no,
off.
No, it's a pop top. What are you talking about?
But
everything about this says old school.
Yeah,
it does.
It says like 2010, 2009. It's got a paper glued on label on like the long neck 360 or 355.
Is it glued on, or do they dip it in milk before putting it on?
I don't know. It's rural Michigan. I'm assuming they've got cows.
This is a dark, dark beer.
But it's just a 10.5% stout. That's all we've got for information.
Yeah, it's opaque.
So straight up American Imperial.
Yeah.
It's interesting though because
it's
I guess it's probably the oxidation, the sherry that I'm getting because it smells kind of boozy almost.
Oh, it does.
And I don't just mean because of the alcohol. I mean, like, it smells kind of like booze, like bourbon or something.
Really rich, dried fruit almost aromas.
Yeah, a port-ish
kind of
thing. Yeah.
Oxidation in the best possible way.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's a big, rich beer.
A
bit of booze off it.
Woo!
That's got a lot of depth to it.
Yeah. It's definitely got some...
I can feel the warmth.
Yeah, it's got some alcohol warmth. It's got some, like, that... treacle or something, that brown sugar kind of thing going on.
You just want to like be standing, like, you know, like
you want to
like
stay standing
knee deep in like a snowdrift and just be drinking this and be like, to hell with you weather, I got a beer.
There was a very slight chance that it might possibly snow while it rains tonight, so
snow today at UBC actually.
Oh, did you? Wow.
I did. The first snow.
They were studying it.
Yeah, that's what I do. I study snow.
This is so rich. It almost has like umami or something.
Yeah. But it's not, at the same time, it's not super sweet though.
You get that?
It's not sweet, but it reminds me almost of soy sauce.
Yeah. When I think you get that because even with the coffee bourbon we had on the previous episode, mm-hmm. it was starting to get a little bit of that. And I think that's when you start to get all that roast. The oxidation married with those darker malts and everything, it starts to marry together in it. You get like a little bit of that umami soy sauce kind of thing going on.
No, this is American, so I forget what order they do their shit, but it's 10, 16, 15.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
So is this 2015 then?
Yeah.
It sounds that way.
Yeah, but what is the 16th month?
October. No, it's not. I think they do the opposite. So it'll be October 16th.
16th day of the 10th month. October 16th.
We're into April 2.
April 2th.
And what's the C thing at the end of it?
Wow.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
So that's 2050, so that's a 4-year-old bottle.
Yeah.
Cool.
Dude.
It's been selling pretty well then, yeah.
So you guys...
I'm 5'20".
So here was my proposal I was kind of thinking about... and maybe we should, like, I don't know, maybe we should run this as a contest or something. Benny and I have been talking about this. It's been ruminating in my head. Uh-oh. Contest.
Uh-oh.
It's not worth it.
Or to the Patreons. The Patreons. But I run a friends and family only Boxing Day pub crawl that takes place in Port Moody at the breweries every year.
Okay.
And we were going to tack on
why
to
not
that.
Maple Ridge, man? They got three of them now. What's
can you walk to all
well,
three?
Well, in Port Moody, you don't have to
transit to them, though.
Is it a really long walk?
here's why.
That
here's
doesn't
why.
Matter, okay?
I don't believe in drinking to excess. However, in Port Moody, you don't need to turn left or right to get to the next brewery.
Also, Uber. We could do it in Maple Ridge. We're gonna have
in any
Uber.
Case
if Uber goes there.
Change location.
In any case, I was thinking.
How many couches do you have, Kevin?
In the brewery? Yeah, you're not coming.
Bring our sleeping bags. We're sleeping over at the brewery.
We're gonna start this year's with a small a mini bottle shake from our cellar.
Cool. Okay.
Nice. And I was hoping to tack on perhaps an episode of Pacific Beer Chat within that sort of thing before heading out and continuing our annual Boxing Day.
Well, that sounds like something we could strive to make happen.
Very possibly.
Yeah, and it'd be fun. It'd be fun to have maybe a Patreon supporter or someone supporter of the show also show up and be a part of that.
The next person to become a Patreon member.
What if
is
they're
automatically
super weird?
Invited.
Yeah.
What if they're serial killers?
Yeah.
That'd be the other show that
all
I
right, background checks required.
We can overpower them.
In realization that anybody could sign up, we will be well armed.
I've got two arms.
Yeah, that's right.
And you'll be on location in a neutral territory.
And if I roll up my sleeves, I might get a sunburn. So, I don't know. The right to bear arms is not the greatest thing.
But I'm going to put that on the table. Next person to sign up as a Patreon is completely invited to... a Boxing Day episode, pub crawl, bottle share.
And sleep over at Carnell's.
No sleepover.
Maybe
Danny will
that
not
one.
Be there.
I will pay for your return transit fare.
Better one. A transit fare. Good call.
That's right.
All right.
This is lovely.
Yeah, it is lovely.
It's very good. Back to the beer. Back not Carnell's weird idea.
Bock to the beer?
Bock. Mm.
This definitely tastes like it dried out when it's been in the bottle and everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Although I've never had the original, so who knows? But yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
It's boozy.
I would think that it would have been a lot sweeter originally. That's a sipper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a feeling it was 10.5 when it went into the bottle.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I have a feeling it's probably more like around like 11 or 12.
Right? Just like, I think you might be right.
I think so.
Take a look. Oh, I mean, it could be the other beers I've had in this glass. We have washed out a little. But
you're talking about the legs?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's almost thick. Like little sugars, a little just...
It's thick.
Yeah, there's it's not moving quick, this no. beer. Yeah, you got it as well in your glass.
It's got legs.
Yeah, it
knows how to use them.
Yeah, yeah. Delicious beer. So I'm excited to try the next bottle, which is the Black Note Stout, label 2017.
And this is a barrel aged one before barrels were a thing.
Well, I mean 2017.
No.
Barrels were a thing in 2017.
Back when it meant something.
It meant something.
Yeah. Not everybody.
It didn't mean
grandma.
Something. Yeah.
We barrel aged this in what? In fresh barrels. That means nothing. Right? Yeah. You know. So that happens these days sometimes. Just because it says barrel age doesn't necessarily mean anything. What's the barrel? Or has that barrel been used 12 times prior, right?
But that's where you get the bugs.
Yeah. In any case.
Sometimes.
So this is fun. Bell's trademark.
Bell's.
Because nobody trademarks anything anymore. You have a new name for a beer every week. Black Note is a malty harmony of dark chocolate, espresso, and dried fruit notes. Wow. Aged in freshly retired oak bourbon barrels.
Oh, nice.
So that's cool. They make a note of that, right? Because as I was saying, like some people are using their barrels over 12 times. And you lose that bourbon or whatever whiskey.
Well, these are oak bourbon barrels. Yeah. So bourbon can only be in a barrel once, right? So once you've got
by law,
bourbon
yeah.
in that barrel, that barrel's done. So.
And you really... don't and if they're you don't really want any other beer other than a rush like something strong like Russian Imperial Stout being for the first use of a bourbon barrel.
Otherwise, you want something that's going to work with those bourbon notes, right?
Yeah, or can compete with them.
Yeah,
right. Even a barley wine, that's a second use beer.
Yeah,
and then
totally. And so this is aimed squarely at stout aficionados. I'd say we have a few at the table. Black Note makes a grand statement about the art of the dark.
Whoa.
So someone writes, Bell's definitely employs a guy to write copy.
Whoa.
Actually, or a woman. Somebody writes copy there. That's their job.
Well, they can rhyme.
They can rhyme.
Yeah.
This one,
she, them, they, whatever, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So my guess, this one was bottled November 5th, 2017, which is fun, or packaged that they say that. It's 11.2%. So it's probably a little younger than the last one.
11.2?
What are you worried about?
That's strong, man.
What's a big number?
That's really
11.2.
Good number.
Oh, man.
Uh-oh. Shoot.
Yeah, I would not be surprised to find out it's the same base beer, same base recipe, done with a little more ABV.
Just hasn't been in a barrel.
From the barrel, yeah.
Yeah, or, they may have blended.
It looks very similar.
A lot of breweries with these beers, they'll blend a beer that's been in there for 2 years with a beer that's been in 1 year with fresh, and that sort of keeps the consistency going through the releases, which is really clever and a nice way to do it. But yeah, I'm excited because, like I say, I was told the person I trade with, who goes by at Mish Brews, on
Michigan
the old Instagrams, he's a great trading
not the new
person.
Instagrams,
no, on the old Instagrams,
Instagrams by Facebook.
Yeah,
everything at the old Instagram is just photo albums.
To me, I'm smelling a lot of.
I don't have any. Yet.
I'm getting dates. I'm getting figs, that kind of
you
thing.
Pass the bottle.
And you get like a little bit of that tobacco-y leather kind of.
Is there any more over here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's very rich. Wait, you want some beer, Mike?
Yeah, I do. Jerks.
And as soon as you're done pouring, you just push that right off the table.
Wow.
A lot of vanilla on the nose.
Ooh, I like
that. There is.
A
yeah.
Lot. Oh, that is boozy.
I feel like it's less boozy than the other one.
Yeah. Same here.
I'm tasting the booze. Yeah, it's not as warm as burning, but it's boozy.
The other one was like drinking a scotch. This one's like
not. And it was the other one almost tastes drier compared to this too.
Yeah,
this is a little sweeter. This is a little newer.
It's a little fresher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little fresher. A little more bourbony.
Well, I think, and the bourbon might have taken, the bourbon notes might have taken the edge off the roast.
Mm. I'm picking up more wood in this one, I think.
But also a lot more like treacle and caramel and toffee. Cocoa. And the sweet, the chocolates, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. I like it a lot.
The booze is like burning the back of my nasal passages, though.
It's tough to for me to describe. It's not really, it's not necessarily thicker, but it's almost like lighter. Like it tastes sweet, but it almost has like a lighter.
I'd say the body's lighter.
Yeah, almost like, but not drier.
Yeah, you can see it. It's not sticking to the sides of the glass the same way.
It tastes younger.
Yeah. Yeah. That's hilarious.
I'm glad someone gets my jokes.
Maybe just say that again so there isn't a cackle.
No, it does taste younger. It tastes like a younger, maybe, and less body, to me at least.
Yeah.
So gross.
But yeah, it's interesting. Like, the bourbon comes through a little stronger, and I wonder if that's... Well, obviously the bourbon comes through stronger because there's no bourbon on the last beer.
Yeah.
And now my whole analysis is shot.
That's never happened before.
Does anybody notice that the bourbon's stronger on the beer that's been in bourbon barrels?
The one that's got bourbon?
Wait, what?
Yeah.
What?
I know this is shocking, but my beer analysis skills are matched by many.
No way.
Yeah. Oh my god.
This is really, really nice. I have never had this before. I've had very little from Bell's. And I didn't know that. Is it Bell's Two Hearted? Is that what it is?
Yeah,
they was voted the best IPA or whatever. Was it last year?
Really? They did some like when that.
Because it was always Pliny the Elder that was winning all the time. And then Bell's Two Hearted beat it out last year, the year before or something.
Bell's has done. Yeah, so Bell's, it's sort of the East Coast equivalent to, say, like a Lagunitas or maybe not even a Lagunitas. Because to my understanding, they're still independent. But say like a Sierra Nevada or maybe a Rogue.
With a bit of Russian River tossed in.
Yeah, Russian River, like that big regional brewery that's got a lot of, it doesn't put out the new hype thing.
Yeah.
But they have a lot of beers that have been well respected for a long time. So they're well known for their Hop Slam, which was a pale ale with a huge amount of hops for the time.
Yeah.
And a bit of honey.
Okay.
So it's like a sweet hoppy beer. I got some of that from the same guy. It was a really nice experience. Like you say, the Two Hearted Ale is one they're really well known for.
Yeah.
A few others too that aren't just coming to the forefront of my mind at the moment. But these, I've been sort of like, they remind you how many big brewers in the States managed to put out real good quality beer. Not to say that our beer up here isn't at the same quality, but it's just interesting that breweries can get that big and still put out really good quality beer.
Yeah. Well, I think their labels kind of say it all.
Yeah.
Which is it, and like I'm this is from a graphic, because I'm a graphic designer, and I'm not trying to be disparaging or anything, but it is very dated.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I think it kind of says a lot about the brewery, which is they've kind of gone past the point of constantly trying to reinvent themselves, like a lot of breweries do, which is just like, nope, this is a label. This is how we've always done it. This is how it's going to stay. And they're kind of digging their heels in on their identity a little bit more.
Well, as far as I can tell, it's not hurting them either.
No, absolutely. And like I said, it's not trying to be disparaging.
No,
it's
not just, at all.
It's gone past the point. They've gone past the point of, well, now it's outdated. Now it's to the point of, well, now this is kind of, it's become who they are.
Yeah. I mean, right?
If that makes sense. I think it does.
No, and this might be a strange comparison, but it kind of reminds me of, like, you know, Disney is never going to change their logo. They won't do it. Like, people know it. It's too well known.
They've changed it a couple times.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I feel like it's always been the Disney.
No, it used to be the Mickey Mouse head, and then it was the castle, but not as fancy, and now it's a really fancy castle. Oh.
Okay. I think he just means Disney wrong. Words. I'm with him here.
Well,
no,
it's Walt Disney's signature.
Yeah,
right?
Disney. So. That's what I'm thinking.
The Disney signature. The Walt Disney.
You know what? Don't listen to the rest of these people here. Yeah. I know what you're saying, Carnell. We're on the same
these
wavelength.
These two Hufflepuffs are really getting it.
Us Hufflepuffs
too. Slytherin.
Yeah.
But I mean, only to say, like, they're at a point where, like, they're big enough that they have more to lose than to gain.
Yeah.
I don't think you could say about just about any brewery in Canada that makes craft beer.
Yeah. Well, they're so young. We're so young here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And I think
especially me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're the oldest part of
You're craft the closest brewing to having a cane here.
Yeah, you're the oldest part of craft beer in BC and probably Canada.
If you had a cane, it wouldn't be ironic.
Okay, that's going too far. Yeah. But I agree.
But BC at least.
Maybe anyway. The oldest one's still alive.
Yeah. But well, Warren, we were on that Yakima trip together.
Yeah.
And I know it wasn't the first time you went, but it was the first time that I went, and that was a real eye opener. It's a completely different situation when you go down to the States. It's a completely different situation down there. It was Bale Breaker.
Mm-hmm. Bale Breaker.
Hello.
That is an amazing brewery, first of all.
Not only that, but they're in an amazing location with an amazing opportunity.
Well, it helps that you're on the farm that grows all of the Simcoe.
They have access to the best hops.
Literally all the Simcoe.
Yeah.
What struck me is the size of the building
and
the operation, which I think
it's a decent sized brewery.
I think that there wasn't a tank under 100 barrels.
No, which they, is they weren't one bar- tiny.
Yeah, one barrel, but for people that don't know, one barrel is 117 liters Canadian.
And their hop back was designed to fit one bale of hops.
Yeah, so and so you see the scale that they're at down there, and then they go and
for
have
a small
the
brewery?
Well, no, they go and make the comment. Yeah, we're still pretty small.
Yeah,
and it's just like, what are you talking about? This is bigger than the biggest brewery in BC, one of the biggest breweries in BC, which is Central City.
Yeah,
after Central City opened up their huge production facility.
Yeah.
So you're that's like a real eye opener. Like we have nothing on these guys, right? As far as production goes, so you know it's a totally different level. And yeah, if I was having to produce that much beer, I wouldn't want to rebrand my labels constantly either.
No.
Well, yeah, so, no, and we've had this conversation so many times on the thing, but it's like, to me, I laugh when people are like, I hate how these new breweries are putting out a different IPA with a chain or the same IPA with a different hop and a new label every week.
Twin Sales.
Yeah, Twin Sales and beer.
I love you, Twin brewing. Sales. I love you, beer brewing.
And whomever else. But you know, it's like, Bell's changed the recipe Boombox. A lot too, I'm sure. They just kept the same label on the thing.
Yeah, they called it the same.
It's just a different way to market yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was the 2015, and now you try the 2016, and it's a little bit different, right?
Like, I'm sure, what's it, Sierra Nevada Torpedo IPA has changed a bazillion times in the last 10 years.
From what
I'm sure.
And Warren probably knows the stories, but from what I understand, they went through a bunch of different versions before they even were willing to open their doors.
Oh, no doubt.
Right? So they were dumping batches before they were...
They're not afraid to dump batches.
No, but even before they were open. So you got the... Well, Warren, you've known a lot of people that have opened breweries, including myself and everything, and I know a lot of people that open breweries. And you're constantly tapping your feet constantly, like, when is the beer going to be ready so that we can actually start bringing some money in instead of all the money
going out. That's a big thing.
So the fact that they were willing to dump batches, multiple batches apparently, before they even opened their doors to start making money.
The bigger the batch, the more you're investing in ingredients.
Oh, yeah.
So that's money.
And time.
To dump it out, and money and time is money.
Yeah.
So to dump a batch is not an inexpensive thing. It's something you need to take into consideration and think about before you do, because it is going to have a major impact on the business.
Yeah.
Most good brewers understand that releasing a bad beer that doesn't taste good is going to have its economic impact as well.
Oh yeah.
Well, you got to think about the long game, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And there's a lot of people that are more interested in the money that are really focused on the money side that think about the short.
Absolutely. Play. But if the beer isn't what the beer should be, then you don't need to package it and sell it, because that's going to have a long-lasting impact on your brand.
I don't think it helps that there's so much red tape with the government that sometimes you're really strapped for cash by the time you're ready to open.
Absolutely. But absolutely. And believe me, dumping a batch is not easy. You got to call up excise, and they got to come out, and the whole thing has to be tracked, and there's paperwork and everything.
Well, when we've,
it's a pain in the ass.
Well, when we've dumped it, I've dumped a few batches, and it's in even the...
It's not a simple thing.
Well, even the regulations aside, it's a freaking heartbreaking thing.
Yeah, that too.
Because it's like, I'm only, when I dump a batch on site, that's only 117 liters. Sorry, 235 liters. Sorry,
it's a lot of beer.
Yeah.
Well, it's not a lot of beer.
To me, it is.
Yeah. It is too.
Well, to me, it is. I'm seeing the money going down the drain.
Yeah.
And also the time I've invested in it too. Right. It sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's doing the right thing is not, I think the message is doing the right thing is not always the easiest thing to do.
But it's the right thing.
It's the right thing. You're right.
Yeah. No. Dumping dollars and time down the drain is painful.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into the next beer. And wow, actually just splashed me over here.
And I can see the color from here. I'm kind of excited about this.
I would go as far as to say it is beet color.
What?
There's no beets in it.
No, but you might be finally right.
You know what the beet looks like?
Oh my God, you're right. It is like super purple. It's like wicked dark purple.
Yeah, this is the darkest red beer I've seen in a long time.
It does look like beet juice. From a guy who does not taste like it, though. That's amazing that you picked that up.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It doesn't smell like beets.
No, it shouldn't, because it's a smells like mixed berry dessert sour. Sorry,
it smells like berries.
It's almost as dark.
It's so thick. It's got black red,
black currants, and boysenberry puree in it.
That is ridiculous! How dark and red it is. So thick. Oh, it smells like jam.
No way.
Well, it's in the name.
Let's hope there's no jocks. Jock jam.
Yeah, I really hope
not. I'm happy to report I don't smell a jock.
It is funky, though.
Yeah. Well, doesn't funk juice kind of look like this sometimes, too?
Yeah, so my understanding... Well, I mean, not even my understanding. I read this off their Instagram.
Wow.
But this is
the internets tell you.
So I was told by the internets I was... So by the internet. So this is a beer. A style I haven't seen anywhere else. The first place I saw something similar to this was House of Funk. So perhaps it's just House of Funk popularizing taking like a base sour and hopping the living shit out of it. Sorry, not hopping.
Fruiting
the living shit out of it.
Yeah,
And it's come up with these incredibly fruit-forward beers. I mean, what else would it be?
This thing is ridiculously fruity.
Yeah. And basically, I think Twin Sales said, "Hey, House of Funk, why not stop by and let's try and do this together?
Want to distribute out to the Port Moody?
Yeah,
come do a collab with us."
But you know what?
This is really nice, though. It's super tart. Beautiful.
Like just the aroma is just jammy. It's tart. It's funky.
Super fruity. Yeah.
Super
like
fruity.
Berry like fruitiness.
And so it looks like it's thicker than berry juice.
It's beer jam.
So this got black currant, aronia. I don't know what that is. And boysenberry puree.
Yeah, and it tastes so like fruit juice, but it's got that nice tartness to it. It's not so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
So they might want to call it jam, but I'm not getting that jammy because it's not super sweet.
No, right? It's puckering. Well,
it's a little
more tart.
The acidity kind of cuts into that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But it's great. I mean, it's ultra fruity.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I've had a couple of the style beers at House of Funk, and I'm glad they're not particularly, territorial about the style. Mm. I think, you know.
Oh, they don't care.
If people push you. I think that's the best for everybody involved, right? And so it's kind of cool to see that it's sort of spreading out and Twins put one out. And I've spoken to the guys and I think they plan to do another similar beer, maybe with different fruits sometime in the future. But I'd love to see more and more breweries come out with this fruit-forward style.
Well, it's nice when it finishes real tart like this, too, and it's not so sweet.
No, it sort of finishes the...
Yeah.
The
But I've been a fan of Darren's beer for a while now. Like, he was one of the first co-head brewers out at...
Hearthstone.
Hearthstone, thank you, jeez. And I was liking what was happening out there when he was there.
Yep. He had that tart raspberry.
Yeah, they were making interesting stuff. The Cool Hand Cuke was a fun cucumber sour. They were making good beer there, and now he's got this place, and wow.
To what Carnell was saying and everything, as far as like borrowing styles and stuff from other places. If there's any other brewers out there that are up and coming brewers or new breweries and stuff out there, if you see someone else doing a style of beer, like first of all, don't get bent out of shape about it, because first of all, if you thought about it, someone else has probably thought about it. And the other thing too is just know that if you're one of the people that really pioneered that and someone else goes and does it, they're never going to be able to mimic what you did, because it's a completely different brewery. They have their own palate and all that kind of stuff. So it's easy to get bent out of shape because you're like, they stole my idea. But, they're going to probably do it differently than what you did.
Yeah. Sure. So, time for another idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dan, that's a fun beer.
It is a fun beer.
The color is amazing.
Yeah, it is. It's striking.
So deep.
I like the contrast of the thing that I like about the color the most is that the actual beer is so freaking dark.
Yeah, no, and then
you get the color of the head is what really sets it off.
Mm-hmm. This would be a good beer for Halloween.
Absolutely. It
looks like a glass of blood.
Oh,
it does, like kind that. Of, yeah. Okay. I was actually happy because
like a summer beer to me.
My co-host on Brew Crime bought this for that show, and I had an extra can, so I thought I'd bring it on here.
There you go.
It's a fun beer.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
It's got grapefruit flavors. Very berry-like. That was the boysenberry there. Is that what it was? Boysenberry.
Boysenberry. And
you're going to make
comes
me.
Out quite strong.
There's black He's currant.
Yeah. Currant.
That's black currant, black currant and boysenberry.
And aronia.
Whatever the hell that is.
Whatever that is.
We could look it up, but we're not going to.
The black currant flavor is quite nice, though.
Mm-hmm.
This is sort of like the one that House of Funk made into the slushy.
I'd say that's probably the exact beer that they made into.
Yeah, it was amazing then. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. And we were talking about this prior to recording, but this is one of the release beers that Twin Sails did for their 4th anniversary. Yeah. I think a bunch of them are still on their tap list right now. And that's just about the best bunch of beers I've ever seen released in that amount.
They still have them on tap?
They still have they quite a few of them on week. Tap.
Really?
When was there?
I was there 2 weeks ago, and pretty much everything but the barrel-aged con leche was still available. So I'd say, I mean, it's worth hopping down to Twin Sails and trying just like, I think they released 8 or 9 beers, and all of them, you know, pretty much were more than good to exceptional.
Yeah.
And it was shocking because usually when someone releases 3 or 4 or 5, when you get into that number of beers, you know, just by chance or randomness, you're going to get one that doesn't quite meet your taste. But
sure,
I was shocked. I went 2, 3, I think I went 3 out of 4 days to make sure I tried everything. And I was just like, it's all good. Everything is delicious. Nice. So that's pretty impressive. It doesn't always happen. And Jock Jams is one that's worth trying.
Well, it's funny. I was in there today. I popped in to Twin Sails today. After I finished a little bit of physical labor, and I had the double IPA, the Much Too Much,
which is a collab with beer
and
Backcountry.
Yes,
Hype Brew Friends.
And wow, it was really good. So I actually took some cans to go and took them home with me. But
was it hazy though?
No,
sort of.
Not really.
Quasi hazy.
Yeah. It wasn't super hazy.
Oh, so it's their West Coast then.
It's not a West
zero
Coast.
IBU.
It as a zero IBU, so it's all late edition. But I guarantee you, when I put it on the machine, it'll be more than zero IBU.
Yeah. It's just all late edition.
Yeah, yeah.
They did
report back on the actual.
They
IBU.
Did a West like a straight up West Coast IPA recently, didn't they?
They may have.
I think so. Yeah,
but this wasn't
they were talking about it that they were like we did a beer that. no one thought that we would ever do. Which was, it was like a clear...
A squeaky clean fun.
That's what it was? Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's or, been a bit of a resurgence
lately. Good clean fun.
Good clean fun?
Okay. Yeah, and I was like, yeah, it was their first West Coast IPA. They had done a West Coast Pale Ale, Blessed, or Blessed, I don't know how you
blessed,
say
it. Blessed.
Blessed, it was hashtag Blessed.
Hashtag Blessed, yeah, which is also quite good.
Didn't they do an ESB at one point? I thought that they did.
They started with all like,
oh, they started
German.
With like German and English.
No, 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 no. This was when they were full in their full on white can.
No, no phase. Idea. Then I don't think so.
I don't believe they did an ESB.
I don't think so. They did like the Kolsch, the dry hop Kolsch, and all those ones in the bottles.
I'm gonna do an ESB with them.
Do an ESB.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do. You know. Oh, you
I'm
know.
Gonna do an I'm gonna call Cody. I'll be like, hey man, I know it's not hazy and cool.
All late hop editions.
Can we make a hazy ESB?
Let's do a zero. Yeah. We'll do a zero IBU.
I know what you're thinking of. They actually did.
It was a collab they did with someone.
Collab with a British brewer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who Maddie and I checked out. We quite like. It was called a New English IPA.
Okay.
And they basically took British hops.
Yep.
And they hopped it as if it were. They took those British hops and added it as if it were like a Northeast.
Okay.
Really? So you have a Northeast IPA with British hops, which, as we all know, terrible a little more idea. Subtle, a little more floral. And it was, they called it Little English, and it was like, it was a super floral
IPA. I would have loved that.
An IPESB. So basically what Central City used to make.
Yeah, their
ESB was always their way, ESB way was too great. Bitter for yeah. what it was.
Well, I love their ESB, but anyway.
Yeah,
It was an ESB in name, but it was a West Coast
style.
It was a West Coast ESB.
Yeah, it was basically an IPA.
Yeah, but an ESB with twin sails would be great.
Yeah,
be
awesome. Yeah.
And then be like, yeah, we'll put Simcoe, and I'll be like, no.
Yeah.
No. You could do an NESB.
You got your choice of EKG, Fuggles, Challenger, Target, or something like that.
Rambling.
Yes.
Rambling Cross.
Yeah, Rambling yeah, yeah, yeah. Cross.
Yeah. Carnival is right. A hop.
Yeah, I know a hop.
I finally had something with the Rambling Cross in it, and it was a mild that they had at Brass Neck. And I was like, there's something messed up with this beer. Because I'm getting like a fruit addition or something like that. And I thought it was cross-contamination. No, they're like, oh, is it like almost like blackcurrant? And I'm like, yeah. They're like, no, that's Bramling Cross.
Bramling.
Yeah. I was like, holy crap. No, that's amazing.
I know Bramling Cross because one of the times I was in the UK, and it was probably about 5 years ago because I was still homebrewing. I went to Tap East, which is a tiny independent brewery, which is in a mall in Stratford, London.
Oh, yeah. We went there.
I brought Banny there the second time. She's been there. It's great, and it's right across the street from my cousin's place, which is nice, so I meet him there always. And I was talking to the brewer, and I was like, oh, yeah, I do a little blog. And I'm like, I will say that's the only brewery I've ever been to in my life where I said, I write a blog or I do a thing. Because I think I don't think there's any, the lamest person you can be is the person who walks into a brewery or a food store and like, hey, I write a blog.
I'm the guy. Give me free beer.
In any case, and the guy was the nicest guy. They said, do you want to speak to the brewer? And I was like, okay. And he takes me back into this little brew area that wouldn't be much bigger than most people's kitchen. Completely tiled except for the glass windows that saw not only out into the tap room, but to across the street, which was the Stratford International train station, because they have those in Europe. And he's shown me everything, and it was great. And he says, oh, I got some hops here. They're Bramling Cross. I was like, oh, wow, I've never heard of Bramling Cross. He's like, oh, do you want some? I was like, yes. Yeah. So I smuggled some Bramling Cross all the way home.
Wow.
And I brewed a beer with it, and it was a really cool experience. So
cool.
Tap East in Stratford, London,
in the mall. The only mall there.
No, there's actually a mall right across the street too.
The England Mall.
just Google Tap East, you'll find it. Yeah, they have internet East.
Mall
there.
Of London.
It's a very big mall in Stratford.
It was cool. It was a great experience, and there's a place in my heart for Bramling Cross.
Nice.
Aw, that was so nice.
Yeah. That I'll never use that hop.
Carnell loves English beers.
We just don't like his heart.
It's pretty black.
It's black like a lot of people's milds in this part of the world.
Wow.
It's dark.
Wow.
All right. thanks for tuning in. You can check out the podcast on all the social media platforms. If you want to support the show, you can get early access to episodes and ad-free at patreon.com/PacificBeerChat. Shout out to our Patreon supporters, Indy Beer Show and Steve.
And the next one to join can totally come to our bottle share. Or
and
bottle
Steve share. And Indy Beer Show, yeah. Because it's kind of rude to just get the new
No, they're both welcome as well. So, but are totally invited. Two.
All three will go into a random draw.
All three would be invited to our bottle share / Boxing Day pub crawl.
I have a feeling that Indie Beer Show in San Diego, California won't be coming up.
Hey,
for that.
Come on out maybe. If you want to.
You never know. We get some good beers. Yeah.
How much is it to sign up for Patreon?
Any amount.
You can start at $1.
Sweet. Really? Oh, we should become Patreon.
As soon as this is done.
I think we just found our next Patreon.
Woo! Right. The next two.
Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for tuning in to Pacific Beer Chat. We can be found on all podcast apps as well as at pacificbeerchat.com. If you find a podcast app we are missing on, let us know and we'll endeavor to fix that. Leave us a review on iTunes as it helps expose more people to the show. You can email us at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com. We can be found on all major social media apps at Pacific Beer Chat. Logo design was by Tim, the craft beer tourist. Audio editing done by Cam, known as Cam on Tap on Twitter. To play us out, here is a clip of the song Lothian by the band Conundrum, performed by Kevin Ems. Find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. The song that plays us out is part of our intro.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.